Friday morning? Saturday morning, yesterday morning. I took a walk around the neighborhood and the birds were chirping. It was a little windy, it was a little cold, but the birds were chirping. It reminded me of a cartoon that I'd seen several weeks ago of a bird's nest, and there were three baby birds in there, and they all were looking up like this, and they had their mouth open. And there was the mother bird was there on the side of the nest with a big worm hanging out of her beak. And there was a little caption underneath the cartoon that says, "The biggest mouth gets the biggest worm." And it reminded me of this scripture in Psalm 81, verse 10, a wonderful promise in the scripture where it says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Now, that's a promise. God says, if we'll open our mouth wide, he'll fill it. And I don't know if we'll get the biggest worm or not, but the principle's the same. The bigger you open your mouth, the more God will put in it. And so that's a promise. You might say, well, that's a promise that he made to his people. And you're right. David was, or the one that wrote this psalm, was writing to the Jewish people. And he said, this is a promise. If we open our mouth wide, God will fill it. And as proof that God will keep this promise, I want you to remember it was the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt. That's sort of the foundation on which the promise is made. We have a God that was able to bring all of us out of Egypt, and that's the same God that if we open our mouth wide, he'll fill it. I did some study, quick study yesterday afternoon, and if you take a concordance and if you look up all the verses, and not counting in the book of Exodus, not counting in the books of Moses, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where it talks a lot about God bringing his people out. But from that point on, the other 61 books of the Bible, if you look at all the scriptures that talk about God bringing his people out of Egypt, there's over 200 of them, many of them in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let me just read five verses from that chapter. It says, "Brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Under the cloud that led them in the wilderness, passed through the sea, the Red Sea. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink." And then it says in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." What Paul was saying is, hey, all the things that happened to the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt were examples for us. They are an admonition to us, an encouragement, an instruction, however you want to say it, to us. And what Paul was saying is that the same God who was great and mighty, who brought his nation out of Israel, is the same great and mighty God that we serve today. And this promise that's in Psalm 81 about opening, again, maybe a promise made that David wrote for his people, about opening your mouth wide and God will fill it, is a promise that every single one of us today can claim. Because it's the same God, the God who brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, is the same God that we have today, the same God who made the promise to his people, makes the promise to us today that if we'll open our mouth wide, he will fill it. God wants us to know that just like he took care of his people when he brought them out of Egypt, he'll take care of us. God wants us to know that the same miracles that were available to them are available to us. God wants us to know that the same guidance and the same leadership and the same protection that he gave to them is available to us. And so this morning, I want to tell you that God likes big mouth Christians. Not those that talk a lot, But those that claim this promise and say, God, I'm going to open my mouth wide. I believe you have the power to fill it. I'm going to get it open. I don't want to open my mouth because my jaws are hurting. I ate too many jelly beans yesterday. I went by Myers and they had leftover jelly beans for Easter for 25 cents a bag. And I ate a bag yesterday afternoon and my jaws are sore. But open your mouth wide, God says, and I will fill it. And this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to know that you have a great and mighty God. I want you to know that you have the same God that delivered his people out of Egypt. I want to remind you that he'll keep this promise to us just like he kept it to his people. Open your mouth wide. I got 3 points I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one, open your mouth wide because God can deliver us from any circumstance. From any circumstance. His people were slaves in Egypt. They were held captive for over 430 years. They were held captive by one of the most powerful nation on earth at that time, the Egyptians. And if you just think about the way that God worked in that situation and the way that God showed his power to bring his people out of Egypt. I mean, just think about it. Just the plagues that he put on Pharaoh and his people. I mean, he started simple, turning water to blood. Well, Pharaoh's magicians could do that. I don't know if they turned it to real blood like Moses did, but they made it turn red and look like blood. But then each of the miracles got a little bit more powerful. I mean, he brought the flies in and the flies were everywhere. And he brought the frogs in and the frogs were everywhere. And then they got lice. And then they had the hail that fell from heaven and the locusts and the darkness and the sick cattle. And all those plagues. I mean, for the first couple of them, the magician says, well, that's not so tough. We can do that too. And they brought up some frogs. And they brought up some flies. But when you got to the fifth one or the sixth one and the seventh one, they came to Pharaoh and they said, hey, we can't do this. This is beyond our power. We can't make this happen. This has to be the finger of God. And then you had the seventh one and the eighth one, and his advisors came to him and they said, Pharaoh, don't you know that Egypt is spoiled? I mean, the hail destroyed the crops and what was left hadn't come up, yet the locusts came in and they've eaten all that. This has to be the hand of God. And Pharaoh was so stubborn, he said, I'm still not going to let him go. Until finally the 10th plague, the Passover, where the Passover lamb was killed and the blood was put on the sides of the doorpost and the death angel came and killed the firstborn in every house. And Pharaoh said, it has to be God. Let him go. And he drove out the nation of Israel. And you know the story. They spoiled Egypt as they went out. They borrowed all their riches and they carried them away. And we read that story, even us as Christians sometimes, we read that story and we say to ourselves, wouldn't it be wonderful if God was as interested today of taking care of his people as he was back then? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God, who worked in such a mighty way for his people back then, would work for us that same way today? I got some news for you. He does. Amen. He hasn't changed. He can still deliver us from any situation. He says, look, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. They got out of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. They didn't have any bridge builders among them. And they couldn't figure out how to get across. God says, I'll show you how to get across. And he split that Red Sea and he made the land dry through the middle of that Red Sea, and his people walked on that dry land through the middle of that sea, waters heaped up on either side of them. And they made it safely across. And God says, I'll take care of you. I can deliver you from the circumstance of being surrounded by Pharaoh's army with the Red Sea in front of you. They got to Mount Sinai and the people said, we need to know how to live. And God said, I'll tell you how to live. I'll give you the Ten Commandments. I'll give you all the principles and I'll tell you what you need to eat, how you need to conduct your life. God did all that. He delivered his people out of every circumstance. I mean, in the wilderness, when the snakes came and they bit the people and they started to die, and they ran to Moses, and Moses said, God, what are we going to do? God said, I'll show you what to do. Make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and tell everybody that's been bitten by the snake, if they look at the brazen serpent, they'll be healed. And I could give you example after example in the wilderness as they made their way to the land of promise, how God, circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, delivered his people and took care of them. And that same God says to us, what's your circumstance? I'll take care of it. Do you have some financial difficulties? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. What's your circumstances? Are you sick and ailing? I am the great physician. What's your circumstance? Do you have a relationship problem? I am the go-between. I can heal those relationships. I don't care what your circumstance is here this morning. I don't care how you are hurting. Oh, by the way, sometimes we're in the wilderness and we hurt because God wants to teach us, just like he was teaching his people here. He wanted them to learn to trust him, that he could be dependent on, that he is able. And he puts us in circumstances today so that we can learn the same thing. And what God wants us to learn more than anything else is that he is able. Whatever circumstance you're in, like Brother Wendell talks about, we get up sometimes on a day like today, it's rainy, all the weight of the world's problems are down on our shoulders, we just don't know how we're going to make it. How can I make it through today? How can I just get through today? We need to remember that the same God who split the Red Sea is our God. The same God that sent the frogs is our God. The same God that sent the flies and the locusts is our God. He has everything in his power, and he can deliver us from our circumstance. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter how deep you're into them. It doesn't matter. We have a God that is able to do it, and he will do it. Open your mouth wide, and he'll fill it. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? My God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. That's the kind of God you have. Number two, not only can God deliver us from any circumstances, number two, you wanted me to skip number two, didn't you? Number two, he'll take care of our daily needs. 2 million people wandering through the wilderness, they needed to eat every single day. They didn't have VG's or Kroger or any grocery stores to stop by. Their supermarket was the wilderness. And every day except for Saturday, the Sabbath, God sent the manna. He sent the manna. When they got thirsty, he took them to the rock and said, Moses, strike the rock and water will come out. Or he sent them to some wells, or he sent them to other places to get water. But every time they got thirsty, God gave them something to drink. When they got tired of just eating bread, and they said, well, we'd like some meat, God sent meat. They had quail to eat. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't grow old. He gave them that cloud to lead them by day and fire to lead them by night. Everything they needed for every single day was provided by God. He didn't give more than they needed. He gave them what they needed. Only time he gave them more bread than one day's worth was on Friday, because Saturday was the Sabbath, and he didn't want his people working on the Sabbath. So he gave them twice as much on Friday so they could gather it for Saturday. Every single day, God gave them what they needed. I think that was, if you think about what the Lord's Prayer says, when it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then later on it says, Give us this day our daily bread. We need to know that we have a God that can take care of us every single day. You know, most of us have a hard time realizing that because we got a month's worth of groceries in the pantry. We got a month's worth of food in the freezer. And we'll go to the cabinet or we'll go to the freezer and we'll take something out. And as Brother Wendell said a moment ago, we'll fail to realize that it comes from God. We'll fail to thank God. We'll fail to remember that it comes from him. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh down from a Father who's in heaven and whom there is no variableness. And every can of beans you have in your cabinet at home, you might have 25 of them. comes from God. You say, oh no, that came out of the garden. We canned them last year. Who do you think sent you the garden? God did. God did. And every time you go to the cabinet and you take out a can of beans, you need to remember that can came from God just as much as the manna did in the wilderness. And every time you go to the freezer and you take out that steak or that package of hamburger and you say, well, I bought this at BG's a couple weeks ago, it's been in the freezer, you need to remember, and I need to remember, that it came from God just as much as the quail did. We have a God that gives us every day what we need. Oh, and by the way, he'll give us every day the leadership we need. We might not see a cloud by day and a fire by night, but we have a book that if we'll open it and read it, we can get his leadership every single day of our life. Don't worry about tomorrow. God says, I'll take care of you today. And when we get to tomorrow, I'll take care of you then too. But don't worry about tomorrow. I will take care of you today. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Then number three. Not only can he deliver us from any circumstances, not only does he take care of us every day. Number three, he helps us defeat all our enemies. You go back and you read the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then read in the book of Joshua. You look at the battles that the nation of Israel fought. They can't get over into Judges because they started disobeying God and ignoring him over there. But in the first six books of the Bible, the nation of Israel only lost one battle. Anybody remember which one that was? Ai, in the book of Joshua, second city they took. But every other war, every other battle they fought, they won. They won. God was showing his people, as he shows us, hey, I don't care what kind of enemies you got, I'm stronger than they are. Now, I'll tell you, we need that because we got a mighty powerful enemy. It's called Satan. And that enemy wants to take us to hell. He wants us to spend eternity with him. And God says, hey, I'll show you how you can defeat your enemy. You admit that you're a sinner. You understand there's a penalty for that sin. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you can defeat Satan. You can get to heaven. You can go where God lives. That place that we sang about, that Wendell sang about, a mansion. A home. A home. By the way, when we get saved, Satan doesn't give up on us, does he, Brother Warren? He keeps coming after us. There's a church down on Hill Road that I pass every day. They've had the same sign out for the past 3 weeks. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Every time I see it, I want to say amen. I do say amen sometimes, Brother Wendell. Amen. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan wants to destroy my testimony. He wants to pull me down. He wants to get me depressed. He wants me to give up. He wants me to stop. But greater is he that is in me than Satan. He's in the world. Holy Ghost lives in me. And I have the greater power. He's greater. Open your mouth wide. You know how most of us open our mouth when it comes to claiming this promise? Like this. You know how when your kids were little and you try to get them spinach, get them to eat spinach? You know, Earl, you know what I'm talking about? You take that spoon of ground up spinach, say, ah, this is good. You liar, it's not good. But you know, it was good. You meant to say, it is good for you. It's not really good. It's good for you. And they sat there, and you know, maybe you made the airplane sound. Say, oh, okay, come on, open up. Here comes the airplane. And they sat there, That's how most of us are with God. God says, hey, I got something for you. And we look at it and we say, it doesn't look very good, God. And sometimes what God has on the spoon doesn't look good to us. But God, just like our moms and dads says, but it's good for you. It may not look good, but it's good for you. Open your mouth. And we sit there with our lips pooched together. Hard to talk with your lips pooched together. We sit there with our lips pooched together. And God says, come on. It's good. Open your mouth and I'll fill it with good stuff. And we might, you know, open it a little bit and we'll take a little lick of it. And hey, this spinach stuff ain't so bad. Oh, I didn't say that. Don't tell. These sweet potatoes aren't so bad. You know, we take a little lick and, oh, these sweet potatoes aren't so bad. And God gets a spoon in a little bit and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And he brings something else and we say, hey, you know, the last time it wasn't so bad. I'm going to try this too. And if we'll just give God a chance and open our mouth, he will fill it with good things. He can deliver us from any circumstance. He'll give us what we need every day. He'll help us fight all our battles. But we got to open our mouth. You see, God will not force feed us. If you look at the last part of that chapter, Psalm 81, said, but what God was saying, I wanted to fill them up, but they didn't open their mouth. They turned away from me. They didn't trust me. I wanted to feed them with, I think it says in the end, the finest wheat and honey out of the rock, but I couldn't get it past their lips. They didn't open their mouth. And they missed all the blessings that God had for them. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. If you keep your lips pooched together and never open them up, you'll miss the blessings that God has. One of the greatest blessings he has is salvation. You're here today and you're not saved. You can sit there with your lips pooched together, but you'll walk out of this place still on your way to hell. Because the only way to get to heaven is to come by Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Go ahead, open your mouth. Try it. You'll like it. Open your mouth wide. Trust God, and he'll fill it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Wonderful truth from your word. Help us to be just like a baby bird that just depends on mom and opens our mouth wide to get the blessings that you have for us. And so I pray, dear God, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today would be the day they make that decision to receive him. Help them to see that nothing else will work, nothing else will get them to heaven, that Jesus is the only way. And if there's only one person here this morning that doesn't know Christ, I pray that they would understand in a very clear way that Jesus died for them, that he paid for their sins, and all they have to do is come and receive him this morning, and they can have a home in heaven. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Some of us are pretty skinny when we should have the fatness of God in our lives, but we don't open our mouths, and you can't feed us. And so I pray you'd help us to pry open our lips this morning, open our mouths, so you can fill us. Bless the invitation, Father. Help those that need to come, come. We give it over to you, Holy Spirit, and ask you to work as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.